Here's Pastor Brian as he continues this week's study.
Welcome to the program today, and all this week we are doing an in-depth look at John chapter 1, verse 1, and Titus 2:13, especially in refuting the way in which the Jehovah's Witnesses handle these two verses. They actually distort them to disprove the deity of Christ, but actually they're some of the two strongest and most clear references in all the Bible as to the deity of Jesus Christ. Now, in our study yesterday, we tried to examine the Greek text in light of the English text, at looking at the translation of John 1:1, as in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, as the accurate translation, and not that it should be translated in the Word was a God. Now, the Jehovah's Witnesses have their reasoning, which is, I believe, a false reasoning, as to why they translate the phrase, and the Word was a God. First of all, they reject the deity of Jesus Christ and actually teach that he is the first created being of God and is actually Michael the archangel. So now as they come to the scripture, they must distort the text in order to prove their point. And their main point is that the term theos without the article actually points to the quality about a person, whereas when the article is used, it points to the person himself or Jehovah God. In the Watchtower publication, Reasoning from the Scriptures on John 1:1, I quote, they say that John 1:1, and I quote, is not saying that the word Jesus was the same as God with whom he was, but rather that the word was godlike, divine, or a God. In essence, they're saying that he is like God or has divine qualities. Now, in order to support their false doctrine that Jesus Christ is not truly God, they have their own translation of Scriptures called the New World Translation. And they claim about the New World Translation that it's supposedly free of the biases of the translators of Christendom scholars. I want to examine that in our program today. Is it truly free of bias? I want to quote from page 110 of their ministry school guidebook. They say, Jehovah's Witnesses are an organization of truth. We should want to speak the truth and be absolutely accurate in every detail at all times. This should be so not only regards to doctrine, but also in our quotations. What we say about others or how we represent them, also in matters involving scientific data or news events. That's their guidelines, and so let's put their own words to the test of the New World Translation. I want to point out a few interesting things about the New World Translation, their scriptures, where they translate John 1:1 as the Word was a God. First of all, the translators of the New World Translation, none of them had degrees in the biblical languages of Greek or Hebrew. Second of all, many of their translation are at great odds with the accepted translations. Third, we don't know who the members of this translating committee were except for one individual by the name of Fred Franz, who, under oath in Scotland in 1954, refused to attempt to translate Genesis chapter 2 and verse 4. Now, they claim the reason they're not bringing forth their names is because they don't want to bring any attention to themselves. They don't want any of the honor. Well, that seems to be sort of an interesting comment. It's not that I want to give individuals honor as to their translation, but I want to find out as to their authority or what their credentials are in order to be able to translate the scriptures from Greek and Hebrew into English to see if they have any. And since the Jehovah's Witnesses in the past have not had scholars to be able to support their translation, what they do is that they quote other scholars of Christendom to support their translation. And it has been interesting that when some of these scholars have been shown what the Jehovah's Witnesses say in using their name as supporting their translation, they've been outraged at the comments that they read. And there's five scholars that the Jehovah's Witnesses have quoted to support their translation of the scriptures. And I want to look at some of those today. First of all, there was a man by the name of Johannes Gerber. In 1937, he had a translation of the scriptures, and he translated John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was a God. Now, it's interesting, as you examine this individual, Gerber, as to his qualifications, here they are. First of all, he was a spiritist who authored a book entitled Communication with the Spirit World of God. And in Gerber's writings, he claims that the spirits helped him in his translation of the New Testament. He said that he saw the translation in, quote, large illuminated letters and words passing before his eyes. And here's a man that the Jehovah's Witness used to quote until this embarrassing information came out as an authority to support their translation of John 1:1. And actually, I would have to agree. I believe that Gerber, as well as Jehovah's Witnesses, actually derive their understanding from John 1:1, the same source, the spirit world, the demonic realm that would want to deny the deity of Jesus Christ. Now, because of this embarrassment, the present-day Jehovah's Witnesses do not use Gerber as a source of authority. One of the individuals that they use is the well-known Greek grammarian by the name of Julius R. Manti. He has numerous degrees and taught Greek for over 40 years, and he co-authored the standard work called A Manual Grammar of the Greek New Testament by Julius Manti and H.E. Dana. And I hold in my hand the Kingdom Interlinear Translation of the Greek Scriptures, which is a work that Jehovah's Witnesses have put out. And in an appendix on page 1158 through 1160, they try and support their translation of that the word was a god by quoting certain Greek grammarians. And on these pages, they quote from A Manual Grammar of the Greek New Testament by Dana and Manti and try and use their work supporting their mistranslation of John chapter 1, verse 1. And they do quote part of the work accurately, but unfortunately, they don't quote the whole thing. And it's interesting that Julius Manti has actually been interviewed, first of all, by the late Walter Martin, who founded the Bible Answer Man program in the Christian Research Institute. And he personally asked him about the Watchtower translation of John chapter 1, verse 1. Once again, they're using him to support their translation of John chapter 1, verse 1. But in the Christian Research newsletter, Dr. Manti says the following: Jehovah's Witnesses have forgotten entirely what the order of the sentence indicates, that the Logos has the same substance, nature, or essence as the Father. To indicate that Jesus was a God, the Jehovah's Witnesses would have to use completely a different construction in the Greek. Dr. Walter Martin then went on to ask, do they quote these people in context? Dr. Manti responded, no, they use this device to fool people into thinking that scholars agree with Jehovah's Witnesses. Out of all the Greek professors, grammarians, and commentators they have quoted, only one, a Unitarian, agreed that the word was a god. Dr. Manti also spoke of the deceptive nature of the New World Translation, and I quote, here's his response: I believe it's a terrible thing for a person to be deceived and go into eternity lost forever, lost because somebody deliberately misled them by distorting the scripture. 99% of the scholars of the world who know the Greek and who have helped translate the Bible are in disagreement with the Jehovah's Witnesses. People who are looking for the truth ought to know what the majority of the scholars really believe. They should not allow themselves to be misled by the Jehovah's Witnesses and end up in hell. Also, Bob and Gretchen Passantino also interviewed Dr. Manti, and in their work, Answering the Cultists at Your Door, on pages 62 and 63, they record some of their conversation. And here's Dr. Manti's response in relationship to the New World Translation. He says, and I quote, there are scores of distortions of Greek words rendered into English. For example, John 1:1, 8:58, Colossians 1:15 and 16, Titus 2:13, and Revelation 3:14. The grammar is atrocious. That's in his own words. And then also commenting on their use of him to support their rendering of John 1:1, he said, my grammar was quoted out of context both times. And actually, he did write to the Watchtower asking them to stop quoting him and attempted to explain that John 1:1 supports the deity of Christ. I was curious, so I took out my copy of A Manual Grammar of the Greek New Testament by Dana and Manti, and on page 148, I found the context of which the Jehovah's Witnesses quoted Dr. Manti. And speaking of John 1:1 and the use of the article, he writes, the article points out the subject in these examples. And he's going to describe the other example. Neither was the place the only market, nor the word all of God, as it would mean if the article were also used with theos. As it stands, the other persons of the Trinity may be implied in theos. Now, you may not understand all that, but it's clear that he is supporting the deity of Jesus Christ in the context of which the Jehovah's Witnesses yanked out some of his words. The third scholar that they appeal to in their appendix on page 1159 is the great Dr. A.T. Robertson, who wrote an excellent grammar on the Greek language. And here I'm quoting from their own interlinear on page 1159. They say, on page 761, Robertson's grammar says, among the ancients, ha theos was used of the god of the absolute religion in distinction from the mythological gods. So they are saying when the article is used, as it is in John chapter 1 in reference to the Father, it's showing the true God. When the article is not used, it's in reference to the mythological gods. And they yank Dr. Robertson's words out of context. Because actually, Dr. Robertson also went on to say in that same setting, in the New Testament, however, while we have pros ton theon in John 1:1 and 1:2, it is far more common to find simply theos, especially in the epistles. So what the grammarian went on to say is, although theos with the article is often used of the true God, it is also found without the article, especially in the epistles, to refer to the one true God. So once again, they misrepresent another scholar's words to support the translation of John chapter 1, verse 1. This is interesting because not only do they quote Bible verses out of context, they also quote Greek grammarians out of context. Because these two Greek grammarians, Dr. A.T. Robertson and Dr. Manti, both supported the deity of Jesus Christ as well as a translation of John 1:1 that the Word was God. Yet the Jehovah's Witnesses want to quote these individuals on parts of what they say, but yet do not give the full quote of their words. I believe it's the same thing they do with the Scriptures. They twist the Scriptures to their own destruction. Just as what Peter says in 2 Peter 3:16, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of things which are some things hard to understand, which those who are untaught and unstable twist to their own destruction, as they do also the rest of the Scriptures. Unfortunately, that's what the Jehovah's Witnesses have done in their mistranslation of the Scriptures. They're twisting them, resulting in their own destruction. Now, I hope now as Jehovah's Witnesses show up at your door, or you are working alongside one of them, or you have a family member, that you will not be duped into thinking that somehow their translation of the Scripture is accurate just because they'll quote certain scholars. Actually, they have misrepresented these scholars. These scholars have been outraged when they've seen these comments, as I've tried to point out. In our study tomorrow, we'll look at some of the other authorities that they try and appeal to and try and refute those claims as well. So I hope that this study will have given you confidence that the New World Translation is a perversion of the Scriptures and not an accurate translation. It's distorted and it's biased and it has no scholarly support. And I encourage you to heed the words of Peter in chapter 3, verse 15, where he says, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and with fear." And so it may take a little bit of studying to be able to refute their translation of John chapter 1, verse 1, but it'll be worth it. You'll be able to give one of these cultists an answer as to why their translation of John 1:1 is inaccurate. Any little bit of study and research that you put in will be beneficial for the kingdom of God, and encourage you in that direction.